few days ago, Phil Sorrell brought up the idea of childhood toys, and then Bernie Topgold followed through with his little conversation. They both were going on a bit about Lego. I don't get Lego. Really don't. Never have. When I was a kid, a few people had Lego, I think. Vaguely. I don't think I cared. Never really understood Lego. Yeah, put together little blocks and build things. Big freaking deal, you know. Sorry, I know a lot of people love their Lego. Anything I think it was good for is sucking up in the vacuum cleaner and stepping on and hurting yourself. No, I loved Meccano. I had Meccano when I was a kid. And I really used to enjoy playing with it and building things. And it had wheels that rolled and you could let your imagination run wild. And you had those little fiddly little machine screws. Remember them with a little slot in the top? And you had your own little screwdriver and a tiny little spanner for the square head nuts. Square nuts. Tiny little fiddly things, good for little fingers, which little boys have. So no, I was into Meccano, much more than Lego. Never thought much of Lego at all. But that really isn't the boo that I want to talk to you about, because that wasn't my favourite toy either. In about 68, I was 8, my uncle, who was a squadron leader with a whole heap of Iroquois in Vietnam, came back from a tour in Vietnam. He was helping fly injured servicemen out of the jungles, and I spoke to him many years later about that, and he said he was very proud of that work. He was very proud of the fact that he saved a lot of young men's lives in helping them get them out of sticky situations and get them to medical care. But he had a little bit of an adventurous life, like I said, in Vietnam for a while there, and he came back and gave me a couple of gifts. One gift was these tiny little compasses. They would have been probably about a centimetre in diameter, and they were in a little plastic sealed pouch, if you want to call it that. You know, two pieces of plastic, round plastic, about say 16 mil in diameter, and they were sealed around the outside, around the circumference, and this little round compass was sitting inside. And you'd look through the plastic, and it was to keep waterproof. You could actually cut them out of that, and it was fine. And the idea was they're tiny little things that you'd sew into your clothing or in your webbing, or you'd have them on your person so that if you were captured, you could have a compass to help sneak your way back out. And he gave me a box of these. I don't think I've got any left. I think I finally lost them all. But he gave me a box of probably 100 of them, which I gave away to school friends. So I was quite a hero for having these little compasses from the war. He gave me those. But the second thing he gave, not so much me, but my sisters and I, was a parachute. Now, if you've been following my audio booths for a while, you know that I did a bit of skydiving. This had absolutely no impact on my future skydiving career adventures. It wasn't that at all. And it didn't inspire me to take up skydiving. That was a different reason. But he did give us a parachute. It was a supply parachute, supply canopy. Didn't have any lines. It did have a heavy canvas bag that it came in, which was more or less just used for storage. And it was not particularly big. It was probably, I'm just standing outside here, how large would it have been? It would have been, say, 5 metres in diameter, which, frankly, if you were swinging underneath that, that would have been a really hard landing. So it wasn't a particularly big parachute, but like I said, it had no lines. That had all been cut off. And even today, if you get buy a second-hand parachute, I think the lines have got to be cut off so people aren't tempted to use it. And it was the best toy I had as a child. By far and away, my favourite toy was a parachute, because it was the place where adventures happened. We did a thing with it which was our favourite. We called it the Genie's Bottle, after I Dream of Genie. If you remember that Barbara Eden show back in the 60s and 70s, what we used to do is take the apex, which is the centre of the canopy, and we'd actually tie that to the top of the downpipe on the side of the house so that it cascaded down. And we would then play in it, pull it out, peg it out, climb inside it, sort of twist ourselves up until it became knotted on us, we'd hide in compartments of it and sort of try and get to each other. And it was just a tremendous toy. It would stay up for months, get the weather on, and it would get wet and then it'd dry out. And it was just the best toy. On a couple of occasions, we took it down to the local park, and all the neighbouring kids and my sisters and I would, you know, play with this canopy, would lift it up in the air and catch air underneath it and run it under it and, you know, get big bubbles of air and jump on it and find out that, no, it didn't actually hold our weight despite our thoughts. It would just collapse and would crash into the ground. Took it camping once, and we actually pegged it up underneath a tree and actually slept under it. It was wonderful. Despite appearances of being like a tent, it didn't give us much protection at all. Maybe the dew stayed off us and kept a little bit of wind out, but certainly no rain. And we just did all these sorts of things. It was actually, when I was 13, was where I had my first sexual experience, as a matter of fact, with a little girl up the road. Yes, that's another story. Just a tremendous, tremendous toy. And later on in life, we used it as a drop sheet when painting. It became a very practical thing as well. So, as far as my favourite toy as a child, growing up in Toowoomba, was a ex-Vietnam War supply parachute, by far and away the most wonderful toy I ever had.